Friends, just a word of introduction to those who may not have been here the past couple of Sundays. I chose as my approach to preaching for these Sundays in July and into the first Sunday in August to borrow some book titles for my sermon titles. And in thinking about it, focused in on Charles Dickens, who was writing in the time when this community of Elberton and this congregation were first being established. And so we began with a sermon called Hard Times, and last week, A Tale of Two Cities. And that brings us this week to another Dickens title, Great Expectations. Now, as I have said before, the sermon's not about the book. I've just borrowed the title, because it seemed to me that these were titles that led the way into powerful Christian themes. But just as a little bit of background, Great Expectations was Dickens' 13th novel. He published it in 1861. The central character is a young man named Pip, who is informed by a lawyer, Mr. Jaggers, whose first name was not Mick, that Pip would be provided for by an anonymous benefactor. And so he had great expectations. That's all of Dickens I'm borrowing, the title and that setting. But I now come to you and say, do you have great expectations? Now, I don't exactly mean, do you anticipate that somebody is going to die and leave you a bundle? Or that somehow you are going to fall heir to material riches? But just in general, do you have great expectations? Now, you know, as Christians, we certainly ought to have. Last week we talked about the two cities, the Jerusalem of biblical times and the new Jerusalem that is ahead of us. And that represented our great expectation. That by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we would be anticipating a future in the presence of God where all was beautiful, where sin was no more, where our communion with God was full and complete and unhindered, and where the absolute love of God would be our total experience. That is the expectation that we have as Christian believers. And if that is our expectation, then it may do us well to think a little bit about that and to anticipate the implications of that expectation for how we think and how we live. You see, Paul, in writing to the people in Ephesus, said, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's at the very heart of our Christian expectation. This majestic, wonderful love of God. So wonderful is God's grace in Jesus Christ that at least in our present state, we can't absorb it all. It's just that wonderful. And so we have a great expectation. Now, in human terms, if we have some sort of expectation, you know, it's certain to be based on two things. One condition is that our expectation is from someone who has the capacity to deliver. I mean, an expectation isn't very much if it rests upon someone fulfilling something that they don't have the capacity to do. Now, did you listen to the words of that children's hymn we sang this morning? God who made the earth. Did you notice that each verse ended with the declaration, He cares for you? This one who is the Lord of all creation, in whose hands rests all power, cares for you. And the hymn makes it quite personal. It's not just that this is some generic care that the Lord has for his world. It's personalized for his people. He cares for you. And if indeed we profess faith in a God who is the creator, the keeper, the sustainer of life, then our hope is resting on someone who has the capacity to fulfill our expectation. And of course, along with that capacity to fulfill our expectation, there's also the related reality that we need to be satisfied and persuaded that the one who can deliver our expectation is willing to. I mean, there could be people who, in human engagement, who would have the capacity to do something for you, but might say to you, no, never, go away. Whereas what we need to be reassured about and reminded of concerning God's provision as the fulfiller of our expectation is that he is willing to do that. And I read again just a verse from Ephesians 3. Paul continued, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And this follows right following that declaration of the magnitude of God's love. More than you can ask or even imagine. That is the nature of the love and grace of God. So, we do have great expectations. and rightly so. But then we also, of course, need to follow that with a little reflection on how this expectation shapes how we think and live. First of all, surely, it gives us a great sense of hope. Hope, you see, based upon this expectation that we have, this expectation that is assured to us by the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so our whole perspective on life changes because of that knowledge and confidence that the Lord will provide. So hope is lifted up in our thinking and in our expectations of life. Now, surely also, accompanying that strengthened sense of hope that is ours in Christ is a response of gratitude. Because you see, there is no suggestion in the scriptures that we somehow need to earn this grace of God. In fact, the scriptures make it abundantly clear that that's well beyond our capacity to even really think about. But what response is appropriate from us is that we are grateful. That each day, as we think about this hope we have in Christ, that we respond with thanksgiving. That it's always in our minds that the Lord is the one who makes all this hope and expectation possible. So think about that one and how gratitude gets worked out in our lives. And of course, then there's also joy, a sense of relief, a sense of delight, a sense of celebration that God has done and is doing these things for his people. That transforms how we look at life. We are not going through life, you know, pessimistically. Just there thinking, what can go wrong next? We go through life knowing that, yes, there are indeed difficult times, difficult days to live through. But yet, the joy of the Lord is there as the constant thing that influences and shapes our life. And I suppose that hope and thanksgiving and joy come together in a sense of peace. And it is God's intention that his people in Jesus Christ live in the peace of Christ. That peace be the overruling attitude within the lives we're living right today in the presence of the Lord. Now, the cautious person in our midst may say, oh yes, but, you know, what about these struggles in life? What about the times when God does seem distant to us? What about the times that are uncertain in our human condition. Well, it was for those who might think that way that I chose to read that lesson from Matthew 6, where Jesus, in teaching his followers, said, you know, of course you have needs. The Lord knows all about them. You don't worry about them, they're in God's hands. You set your heart and strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. God, in that promise, doesn't suggest that all the luxuries of life you can imagine will immediately be yours. But Jesus makes it clear that the Lord will provide what you need to see you through. And always, the expectation is there of the hope that God has given you in Jesus Christ, the New Jerusalem, the place of peace, the very presence of God to be experienced forever, where all is wonderful in his care. So I don't think that's exactly what Dickens had in mind by Great Expectations, but that's what it brings to mind for me when I hear that title from the perspective of Christian faith and say, yes, yes, Lord, we have great expectations. How wonderful it is, all that you have done and are doing and will yet do for the care of your people, now and forevermore. Thanks be to God.